Are you excited to be at church? Yeah. It's going to be a great day. God is working. Last night was amazing. God's got a great word for you today and for me. You see, here's the thing. When I'm preaching to you and pointing at you, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. So really, this message is just for me. Hey, we are going to have a graduation ceremony right before your eyes, because we have 11 graduates from Woodland Seminary. Woodland Seminary, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary of Woodland Seminary, and the whole purpose is to raise up the next generation to change the world. And so we've been raising up pastors and business leaders, and it's been amazing what God has done through Woodland Seminary. And we have these 11 graduates. In fact, we have now seminary graduates all over the country and churches. And then we have many of them on our staff of these graduates over the last 10 years. And so I want to introduce Neil Mabry, who is such a great leader of our seminary in so many ways and keeps it all together. So Neil's going to introduce these new graduates. As you can see, a big part of our seminary is the practical learning, because we believe that students need to be doing ministry while they're learning ministry. And sure, we teach theology and ground them, but most importantly, they're serving and they're mentored. And we believe that's the way all universities and colleges and seminary should be, that practical learning that makes all the difference. And so that's why God's been blessing Woodland Seminary. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Mark Miller, who really invests in these graduates and seminary students. And Shaloxel Johansson and his wife Vivianne are, Shaloxel's the dean of Woodland Seminary. And of course, you know that they live in Sweden, but they have been coming over for 10 years in the fall and in the spring. They do so much to make a difference in the lives of these students and raise them up. Shaloxel is a great theologian, but much more importantly, these guys just model Christ in front of the students. So I want Shaloxel and Vivian to really give a charge and a word to our graduates. Pray for Woodland Seminary. Pray for these graduates, because our goal, and I thank you for supporting Woodland Church, Woodland Seminary, because our goal is to raise up this generation with great Christian leaders, pastors, business people, teachers, to change the world. And God's doing that through you, Woodland Church. Give them one more thank you and round of applause. Pray for them. We love you. Are you excited to be at church today? Man, it's going to be a great day. You guys are amazing. You look really good. You look better than Saturday night service. You're much more beautiful, much more handsome than they were. Not really, but I'm just trying to make you feel good. Hey, God's got a great word for us today. And you know, as Christ followers, you're going to go through pain, difficulties, problems. Christ followers and non-Christ followers go through a lot of the same things. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth from God's word. Some people will tell you that if you're a Christ follower, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be smooth sailing. And it's just not true in this broken world. But here's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. If you're a believer, you will never go through anything alone. He'll always be with you and he will see you through. And I want you to know you're going to get through this, whatever you're going through. You're going to get through it, whatever you're going through. You're going to get through it if you're a Christ follower. In fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. Yeah. Now be seated, because you know you're going to get through this. Hey, I love church signs, and you know those interchangeable signs in front of some churches designed to get people's attention so they'll come to church, and I don't think they really work, but I love collecting church signs. And here's some new ones I came across. Here's a good one. Jesus is coming, hopefully before the election. I think a lot of us feel that. Yep. Here's another one. Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him. Now, this church put an encouraging sign in the men's bathroom with the Bible verse 2 Corinthians 13:11. Here it is. Finally, brothers, aim for perfection, and the God of love and peace will be with you. That's encouraging. And some churches just try too hard like this. Crack the Bible, get high on Jesus. That was just a miss, I think, right there. Some churches, though, don't try at all like this. Blah, 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 just go to church. You know, it's like somebody just mailed it in that day. And some are really direct and to the point like this. I hate this church, Satan. Now, that's a negative review that you want to get. And some churches just try too hard to be cool like this one. Jesus is the rizzle for the sizzle. And some church signs are intended for just one person like this. Whoever stole our AC units, keep one. It's hot where you're going. You just feel the bitterness in that sign. Well, this weekend, we're not talking about church signs. We're talking about God signs. A lot of people are looking at events going on in the world today, and they're just asking, are these signs that Jesus is returning soon? Are these signs of the end times? So we're going to look at what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. An average of one in every 25 verses in the New Testament talks about the second coming of Christ. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is all about the second coming of Christ. The Greek word for revelation is the word apokalypsis. It's where we get our word apocalypse from. Now, when we use the word apocalypse, we're usually talking about some end of the world type of massive destruction. It's the apocalypse, and there are movies about the apocalypse, and it's always world destruction. But that's not what the word means. Apocalypsis simply means to reveal, to uncover, to make known. So God wants to reveal to us what the return of Christ is all about. Because when you begin to understand that Jesus is returning, it changes the way you live every day. And the Bible's real clear about the most important things we need to know about Christ's return. But there are things the Bible leaves as a mystery, and we just have to trust God with it. There are a lot of things in Revelation that are a mystery we can't completely understand right now. And I'm okay with not knowing everything because God does. And I trust him with it. Now beware of the pastor who has 100 end times charts and maps and all these diagrams, and they say they've broken the secret Bible code. And they're gonna tell you every symbol in Revelation means this and means that. And they'll tell you, some of them will, I know when Jesus is returning because of this, this, and this. Run from that person who claims to know it all, because no one knows it all but God. So I want us to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And would you stand in honor of God's word? It's a long passage, but just follow along with me because it's an amazing, encouraging passage. But let me tell you something wonderful. A mystery I'll probably never fully understand. We're not all going to die, but we're all going to be changed. You hear a blast, end all blasts from a trumpet. And in the time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves, beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment and in the same way, we'll all be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal replaced by the immortal. Then the saying will come true. Death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. You can be seated. Now, before we look at the question, is Jesus returning soon? First, let's look at what will happen when Jesus returns. Now, there's the rapture, then later he'll return to rule and reign, and we're going to focus on what we call the rapture. 1 Thessalonians verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 16, talks about it, or 4:16 through 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And we're to encourage each other that the Lord is returning. Now, did you notice the words caught up? That comes from one Greek word, harpazo, and just means caught up. Now, the word rapture is never mentioned in the Bible, not one time. But rapture means caught up. You see, believers through the years have shortened the words caught up to the word rapture, which means the same thing. Rapture is when Jesus returns and all Christ's followers are caught up to meet him in the clouds. So what is going to happen in the rapture? Well, let's break that down in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Hey, it's good to know Jesus himself is coming to take us home. Jesus himself is coming to bring us back with him. It says there will be the trumpet call of God. In the Old Testament, they would blast out the shofar, the ram's horn, the trumpet, to call all the people to come together. If there was something important they all had together for, they would blast out the shofar, the trumpet, that ram's horn, and all the people would know. That's the signal. We're to all come together for something important. And as Christ followers, I want you to know that the trumpet call of God is the voice of God. God is going to call out like a loud trumpet as the signal for all Christ followers to come up and join him. And I believe that trumpet call of God could be the voice of God calling each of us by name. At the same time, we'll each hear our name called. I can just imagine hearing this booming voice from heaven saying, Carrie, I've come back for you. You are my child, and I've come back for you to take you to that perfect place, that place of perfect fulfillment, to take you out of this broken world of pain and sorrow and loss. I told you that I wouldn't forget you. I told you I was coming back for you. I'm taking you home to be with me forever. I love that Jesus himself is coming back to take us home. And then let's look again at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. It says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So it will happen instantly and unexpectedly. The Bible says everybody will be doing the normal things that they do. It will be like every other day. It will be just the normal routine things that we always do, and people won't be expecting it at all. Then boom, quicker than you blink your eye, everything will have changed. Every once in a while, as I'm preaching, I look out and I see someone who's asleep, sleeping in the message, and maybe they're praying. I don't know. I don't want to judge. They're snoring, praying at the same time. And you know, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they have a job where they stayed up all Saturday night and they're here. But I really know they just partied all Saturday night. So, you know, it's just kind of sleeping, and I see you guys out there. I see you out there, and if you're disinterested or you're asleep, that bothers me. You know, I want to come down and wake you up, but it rarely happens, but every once in a while. But what I think I'm going to do next time I see someone sleeping is I'm going to whisper to you guys, hey, this guy on the fifth row is asleep. Let's all sneak out, and when he wakes up, he'll think the rapture's come. He will never sleep in church again. We pastors, we think about that kind of stuff, you know? I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The last part of the verse says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, sometimes people look at this and they think, does this mean Christ followers who've died aren't in heaven yet? Are they just kind of in this soul sleep and they don't even realize it. And then when Christ comes back, they're raised up and they go to heaven. No, that's not what it means. The Bible clearly teaches that when a believer dies, they go immediately to heaven to be with the Lord. The scripture says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when Christ comes back, we will all get our new, glorified, perfected bodies for all eternity. And those who've gone to be with the Lord first will get their perfected bodies first. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So Christ will be like this great magnet in the sky. And everyone who has the medal of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives will be drawn up to that magnet. That magnet will draw up those with the medal of the Holy Spirit in their life, of Christ in their life, and will be caught up to him. And those without the medal of Christ in their life will be left behind. So the question is, do you have the medal of God's Spirit in your life? Have you invited Christ into your life? Have you received his free gift of forgiveness and his free gift of heaven? Have you stopped trying to be the CEO of your life and control everything? Have you stopped trying to save yourself and let him save you? Let him be in control of your life, the Lord of your life? That's the real question. And you can get that settled today. And you can know for sure that if Christ comes back today, you'll be caught up with him, because you'll have the medal of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. You'll be drawn to that great magnet of Christ when he comes back. So what will happen after Christ returns and all Christ followers are caught up and they're instantly gone? What will happen? In Matthew 24:21, Jesus tells us, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." So the Bible talks about there being a 7-year period of disaster after disaster, chaos in the world, conflict all over the world, terrible disasters, trials, and tribulations. Now, Christian theologians differ on their views of when the rapture will take place as it relates to the tribulation. There are some that believe in what they call a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, no one knows for sure because it doesn't come out and say it clearly in Scripture, but I feel like most of the evidence in Scripture is weighted toward a pre-tribulation rapture, that Christ comes back and then there's 7 years of tribulation. Now, some scholars believe there will be 3.5 years of tribulation, then Christ will come back for his followers, and then the worst 3.5 years will come after that. And then some scholars believe that the church, the believers, will go through all 7 years of tribulation, and then Christ will return and take his followers. And I believe Scripture is really weighted toward Jesus returning to take us to heaven before the tribulation. At least I hope that's right. I don't want to go through it, but we don't know for sure. Now, one reason I believe that is because in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus raptures his Christ followers, and then from Revelation chapter 4, the church isn't mentioned again. Another reason that I tend to believe that is in Revelation 3:10, it says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." That leads me to think that the rapture will take place before the 7 years of tribulation. But what really matters is Jesus is going to return to take us home. Jesus is really coming back. So when is Jesus returning? Well, all throughout history, people have tried to predict the date when Jesus is coming back. But the scripture says no one knows the date or the hour except the Father, who is going to tell the Son when it's time. And so one day, the Father, God the Father, is going to look to his Son and say, "Okay, Son, it's time. Go get our followers. It's time." And the scripture says no one knows the day or the hour except for God. But people have tried to predict when Jesus is returning for years. In 1843, there was a very popular pastor, Reverend William Miller, who took hundreds of his followers up on a mountaintop waiting for Christ to return, because he said he had figured it out. He had broken the code, and Jesus is going to return on this certain day in 1843. Now, why did they go up on a mountain to wait? I guess they wanted to get to heaven quicker or something. I don't know. You know, we'll be the first. We can beat everybody. We're 2,000 feet ahead. That's when I would have started questioning the guy right there. What's the purpose of this? So they go up on the mountain, and of course, nothing happens. But he realizes, wait a minute, I've made a mistake in my math. He didn't do the long form like he should have, and so he went back, checked his math, and he corrected. He said, no, I was a year off. It's 1844. So let's go back up on the mountain. And so they go back up there in 1844, waiting for the date that he set, and they took all their cows with them this time, which I don't get that. Maybe they thought there wasn't milk in heaven. I don't know. But they were wrong again, and after that, not many people followed him. The Jehovah Witnesses have predicted Christ's return 10 or 12 times, and they've been wrong 100% of the time so far. But in 1987, NASA scientist Edgar Wisenot wrote this best-selling book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Returning in 1988. And it was a bestseller in 1988. And then in 1989, it didn't sell one copy. Go figure. I don't know. See, whenever someone announces that they figured it out and they give a date that Christ is returning, I always think, well, I know it's not going to happen on that day. I can mark that one out. Because Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour except God. That means Jesus could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. He could come back next year. Only God knows. The scripture does tell us there are some signs of the times. There are some signs that signal he's coming back. Now, people at times ask me, Carrie, do you believe we're living in the last days? Yes. Yes. I know we are because the Bible tells us that we are. Because when Christ died, rose again, and went back to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to live in our lives, those of us who have received him, then that's the last days, according to the scripture. The church age, as he's building his church, wanting everyone to come be a part of his family before the end comes. And so, yes, we're living in the last days because everything after Christ died and rose again is considered the last days. The real question is, are we living in the last days of the last days? That's the real question. And Jesus said there are many signs that will give you a clue that when you're in the last days of the last days. And so Jesus tells us some of the signs in Matthew 24, verse 5. He says, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And so he's saying there's going to be all these signs that are going to happen more and more frequently, but it's just like a woman going into labor. That's just the birth pains. And then the labor will get stronger and stronger, but it's not delivery yet. But then there will be delivery. The labor pains are the signs that will keep increasing. Or first, there'll be a lot of teachers and spiritual gurus who will come along the scene saying, I have a new enlightenment. You know, follow me. I have some new knowledge that's going to give you success, and we see that all the time. And then Jesus says there will be earthquakes and more earthquakes and natural disasters all over the world, and we see that increasing more and more. And then he says there'll be wars and rumors of war, and we see that today in abundance, especially in the Middle East, this very strategic place that the Bible talks about over and over again. In fact, Scripture prophesied that Jesus wouldn't return until Israel became a nation again. And for, you know, almost 2,000 years, there would be pastors who would say, you know what, we know that Israel has to become a nation again. That's one of the big signs before Christ returns. And I've heard some sermons, you know, that they recorded in like 1940, where it was, pastors would say, well, we know that Jesus is not returning until Israel becomes a nation again, and it looks like that will never happen. I know it looks like that will never happen. It seems so far-fetched right now, but it will happen one day. And in 1948, it happens. through all this series of tragedy and through the Holocaust and all these things that were so awful and evil. And then all of a sudden, Israel, after being dispersed, the Jewish nation being dispersed for, 1900 years, comes back as a nation. Pretty amazing. In fact, the Bible prophecies that there are over 500 that have already come true. And so all those that are talking about the future, they're guaranteed to come through because the Bible's batting 1,000. And so they're all signs, and there are many more signs the Bible talks about. But it's not the end yet until there's one big sign, Jesus says. One big sign, and then it's over. And it's in Matthew 24:14. Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." It's pretty amazing. He's saying that the good news, the gospel, is going to go out to the whole world and all nations. And some people interpret the word for all nations as people groups. People groups all over the world are going to hear the gospel, have a chance to receive Christ. And Jesus says, it's because I love those I've created so much. You see, not everyone is a child of God. Some of you say, aren't we all children of God? No, we're all created by God. God loves every one of us. But it's those who ask to be adopted into his family. It's those who receive him. They become children of God. And he wants everyone to become children of God. He wants everyone to get in the lifeboat, to be saved, to be rescued. That lifeboat of the church, once you receive Christ into your life, you become a Christ follower, connected to Christ followers all over the world, the church. And that's what God's doing. He's building his church. He's bringing in everyone to his forever family. And he says, that's the last big sign. And once that's happened, it's over. I'm coming back. Once the whole world hears the gospel, and everyone who's going to come in is going to come in to the forever family, then the end will come. And I think about what's going on today with technology. Even here at Woodlands Church, through our broadcast ministry, it goes to almost every country in the world, through, the live streaming that goes all over the world. And right now we have people on the other side of the world that are worshiping with us through our online live streaming. Through technology and travel, you're living in the first generation where Jesus could come back, because that last sign could already have been fulfilled, and if not, it's being fulfilled right now. So you're living in the first generation in the history of the world where Jesus Christ could come back today. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's the big sign. And so, what a great day to be alive. We're living in the greatest time in all of history. And sometimes I hear people say, you know what? I don't know what these kids growing up are gonna do. Everything's so bad. Everything's so awful in the world today. There's no hope for them. I just feel for them. And yes, things are bad in the world today. There's wars and there's chaos and there are people just, getting away from God's word, living however they want. And it's so destructive to our culture and society. It's bad out there, but you know what? This is the greatest time in the history of the world to be alive, because Scripture says that there's going to be a great coming back to Christ in these days, and that's what's happening. There's revival all over the world. I've been meeting pastors all over the world, even in places where they're persecuted or they have to go underground. They can't meet in a building like this, and there are thousands upon thousands coming to Christ. Did you know today over 40,000 Muslims will come to Christ? That's more in one day than have come to Christ in 1,200 years. It's amazing what God is doing all over the world. You see it in Europe. You see it in Asia, places where, it's just been dead. And no one's come to Christ for hundreds of years, and now revival's breaking out, and it's broken out right here at Woodlands Church. I'm telling you, this is the greatest time in the history of the world to be alive. You're living in the first generation where Jesus could come back today, because this last big sign is either been fulfilled or it's being fulfilled right now. And look what 2 Timothy 3 says about the culture in the last of the last days. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Does that not describe our culture to a T? I mean, about the only thing it doesn't mention is there'll be a lot of dumb reality shows with screwed up people making millions of dollars. That's about it. There'll be a lot of so-called influencers on social media making millions of dollars that are just nuts. I mean, it mentions just about everything that's going on right now. But here's the whole point of our message. Knowing that Jesus is returning, that it's real, should change the way we live. I mean, it's something that when you begin to realize it, it changes your everyday. So the first change that we make when we realize Jesus is really coming back is we can live with no fear. We need to live with no fear. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. Death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word? Oh, death. Oh, death, who's afraid of you now? Because of what Christ has done on the cross, we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. We just pass from this life to real life in heaven, in the place of total purpose and fulfillment and joy. Believers don't have to be afraid of death. Now, we need to be afraid of a wasted life, but we don't have to be afraid of death because we just get to go to heaven. 365 times in the scripture, the words fear not or do not be afraid are mentioned. That's one for every day of the year. It's like God is telling us, you don't have to be afraid. You can live every day without fear. Now, there are a lot of fearful things going on in our world today, and if you're not a Christ follower, you ought to be afraid. But God says, if I'm in your life, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, my children. Step out in faith. You can live with no fear. Max Lucado says, when fear shapes our lives, safety becomes our God. We worship the risk-free life. Can the safety lover do anything great for God and others? No. The fear-filled life cannot love deeply because love's risky. They cannot give generously because they're not sure that God's going to keep his promise and give back. The fear-filled cannot dream wildly. What if the dreams sputter and fall from the sky? The worship of safety emasculates greatness. Fear emasculates greatness. No wonder Jesus came to set us free from fear. Because if you let fear keep you from stepping in faith, you'll miss your whole purpose in life and you'll have so many regrets at the end of your life. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to have feelings of fear in our culture today, in our world today. You're going to have feelings of fear come into your life, especially with all that's going on. You'll have feelings of fear of the unknown and what's next. Maybe it's financial fears. Maybe it's the fear of the future. Maybe it's the fear in your health or something going on in your family. You will feel those feelings. Because fear is just an emotion. You can't help it when your emotions are flooded with fear. Those feelings will come upon you, but then you get to choose to give in to your fears or you choose to step out in faith in spite of your fears. You see, feelings of fear come into my life all the time. Feelings of anxiety. Oh no, what's gonna happen here? What's gonna happen there? Those feelings come in and then you can't help it when you're flooded with fear, but then I get to choose. You know what, God? I feel fear, but I know you've already taken care of it, so I'm going to step out in faith. Sometimes people ask Chris and I, how do you guys keep stepping out in faith, risking in faith more and more? I mean, aren't you afraid? Haven't you ever been afraid all these times where you've led the church to step out in faith? And we're stepping out more than ever now to start our downtown campus to reach the city. We're stepping out more than ever in our missions around the world. We're stepping out more than ever in our ministries in our area. I mean, this is the greatest time of stretching in the history of Woodland Church. And people say, do you ever get afraid? And I say, yeah, every single time God calls us to stretch in faith. But I just don't let my fears keep us from doing what God calls us to do. We don't let our fears keep us from stepping in faith. And courage is not the absence of fear. It's stepping in faith in spite of your fears. And you see God come through over and over again. I used to look at great believers, great men and women of the faith, and I thought, man, they never have any fears. They're not like me. They're so courageous. I mean, they just trust God so much and just step in faith all the time. How do they do that? Well, I've had the privilege of getting to know a few now, and I realize they have fears just like me. It's just that they don't let their fears keep them from stepping in faith. You see, you may be fearful, you may be anxious, but that's just an emotion. Don't let that emotion keep you from stepping out in faith and seeing God do all he wants to do in your life and fulfilling your purpose in life and see the great adventure of the Christian life. Live with no fear. You're gonna live with no fear, Woodland Church. Turn to your neighbor and say, live with no fear. Live with no fear today. Live with no fear. Live with no fear. And then love with no limits. Love with no limits. Let's go back again. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Keep your eyes open. Hold tight to your convictions. Give it all you've got. Be resolute and love without stopping. It says we're to keep our eyes open to see what God's doing in the world. It's not just the news feed. That's what's going on the surface. You see the news feed, but you need to get under the surface and see what God's doing in the world. Boy, he's changing lives. He's doing miracle after miracle. And so keep your eyes open for what God's called you to do, how to love the people in your life, and hold to your convictions. Don't give up on God's word, because that's the only thing that will hold you. And then he says, hey, give it all you got. Love without stopping. Love with no limits. I love that, because when you know Christ is returning, I mean, man, get with it. Let's go all out. Let's love. Let's love with no limits. Let's love the people in our lives. Let's love each other and the family of God. Let's love those who are far from God. I mean, we can risk loving each and every day, even if we get hurt, because the one who loves us most and knows us best loves us completely. And so we don't have to fear rejection, because he accepts us completely. And we ought to, as believers, love with no limits. And some of you today, you need to tell someone how much you love them. Someone who's meant a lot in your life. Maybe you need to send them a handwritten note. They'll faint when they get it. Maybe it's an email. Maybe it's a call. Just to tell someone from your past or someone in your life, man, I really appreciate you, and I want to say it. Whatever you got to say, you say it now, because we only know that we have now. Whatever you need to give, you give it now. Don't wait. All the flowers at someone's funeral mean nothing to them. Who cares? If you're going to give something, give it now. If you're going to put God first, give it now. Give now of those tithes and offerings to make a difference for the kingdom of God now, to bring more people into the family of God, to bring more people into the church of God, his forever family. Do it now. Say it now. Do it now. Give it now. Good intentions are meaningless. Oh, I really love that person. I really am appreciative of that person. I'm really grateful for that person. Who cares what you think? If you don't say it or do it or give it, it's meaningless. Meaningless. And then leave with no regrets. Live with no fear, love with no limits. Leave with no regrets, because Christ is coming back. We can go all out. In Luke 9:62, Jesus said this, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. I love that, because Jesus was telling a parable about how so many were invited to the banquet, so many were invited, and they all made excuses. I can't do it because this, I can't do it because that, I can't do it because this. They all made excuses, and they missed out. And Jesus said, hey, you can't put off until tomorrow what you need to do today to be fully committed to me. So many people today are half-heartedly committed to 1,000 different things that won't mean anything 10 years from now, much less for all eternity. We ought to fully commit our lives to the few things that matter, totally commit it all out. That's how you don't have any regrets. You can leave with no regrets. I've been with many people at the end of their life. It's a privilege as a pastor. And I have heard some regrets. And they always have to do with one thing: relationships, love. It's never, hey, can you drive my sports car in here so I can touch it one last time? Hey, give me my stock portfolio. I just want to see it. You know, it just comforts me in this time. No, it is always, I wish I would have loved God more, and I wish that I would have made a bigger difference for the kingdom of God. I wish I would have loved the people in my life better. Man, I've got a lot of regrets. I wish I would have spent more time with family. I wish I would have invested more in the people I love, and I want them around me. That's what everybody wants at the end of their life. Why don't we get it? Why don't we understand it now instead of waiting to the end? Why? Because we think someday, and we get stuck in the someday syndrome, and God says, your someday is today, because that's all you know you have, because I could come back today. And so you just leave with no regrets. I think a lot of us are, it's like we're eating at a buffet. We're going down the buffet line, and you know, we're like, okay, there's all the healthy stuff at first, the salads and stuff. I don't want to fill my plate with that. I want to wait and see what's there. And then, you know, there's, well, I don't know. I don't want to fill the plate yet. I want to see what's down here. And so many of us are going to get to the end of the line and realize there's nothing on our plate, nothing that makes any difference, because we didn't commit to the very few things that make all the difference. And I'm telling you, one of the most important things you need to commit to if you're a Christ follower is the church. You need to join a church. There are a lot of great churches in this area. You need to join one that believes God's word, that teaches God's word is true. They're all different styles of churches, but if you know, you join where, hey, I feel like I fit here. And if you've been coming to Woodland Church, you need to join here. God's called you here for a reason, so you can fulfill your purpose. So many people just stay on the sidelines and they miss out on their life purpose. What God is up to is he's building his church. That's what he's doing, bringing everyone into his forever family. And the Christian life's not just a matter of believing, it's a matter of belonging, and you need to join the church. And some of you, this is your day. Maybe you haven't signed up. We got this huge membership class today from 1 to 3. You know, I teach the class, and we have other pastors, and that's how you join it. We got a lot of people coming today at both of our campuses. And we feed you lunch. We take care of the kids with childcare, and if you haven't signed up, that's okay. You just come on. But I'm telling you, that's a baby step of faith that will take you to a whole new level, because that's when God starts working miracles in your life, when you're connected. When you're connected to him and connected to the body of Christ. So are you connected? Have you made a commitment, just a baby step commitment, to one of the most important things you could ever commit to? We're so half-heartedly committed to so many things that don't matter. Commit to the very few things that do matter, or you will have so many regrets at the end of your life. Woodland Church, if you're a Christ follower, you can live with no fear. You can love with no limits. And you can be totally committed to the things that matter so you leave with no regrets. Is that what you want? That's why we're to say Maranatha, which means, the scripture says, we're to say it to each other, which means, come Lord Jesus soon. Come Lord Jesus soon, and take us to that perfect place where we'll have total fulfillment. Come Lord Jesus soon. We can say that because we have Christ in our lives and we know we'll be in heaven one day, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done for us, and we've received it. We've stopped trying to save ourselves. We let him save us. And we can say that because here on this earth, we can live with no fear, love with no limits, and leave with no regrets. Do you believe that? Let's stand together, Woodland Church, and let's thank the Lord Jesus, who will return someday, maybe today. And I want to lead us in a prayer, because if you're not sure that you'll go with them, if you're not sure that Christ is in your life, if you're not sure you've really stopped trying to be the general manager of the universe and let him take over your life, then just pray this prayer right now. And pray it out loud. Just repeat it after me. And I want everyone in both of our campuses to pray this out loud. And you can pray it out loud where you are, worshiping online. Just pray this prayer out loud. And everyone pray it. All Christ followers pray it too, to make those who've never prayed it feel more comfortable to pray it out loud. Just mean it in your heart. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus Christ, I need you in my life. So I stop trying to save myself, and I ask you to save me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life with your Holy Spirit. I accept your free gift of heaven one day. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Thank you that when you return, you'll come back for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you keep your heads bowed? Everyone keep your heads bowed. Don't look up. Just keep your heads bowed. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, would you raise your hand? Or maybe you got it settled right now. Just, yeah, yes, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Something happens when you go, you know what? It's me. I raise my hand. Look at those hands. Yes. Praise God. Just raise your hand in the balcony. Yeah, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I see those hands, guys. And I'm praying for you, for God's blessing and strength and your life. Well, let's all look up and let's thank the Lord God because he loves us so very much. And if you prayed to receive Christ, let us know online. Just click, I'm raising my hand online. If you prayed to receive Christ here, let one of our pastors know on the way out. We want to give you a Bible. We want to give you information on how to grow in your faith. We want you to get connected. And don't forget the membership class. You see, I know this. If you're a Christ follower, fear is not your future. God says to you today, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to strengthen you. That's my plan for you, not fear. But I'm going to see you through no matter what goes on around you. I'm going to get you through when you search for me with your whole heart. And so let's just sing it to the Lord right now as a declaration, as our closing song, as a declaration that I'm going to choose faith instead of fear. I know God's going to see me through. I know God's got a good plan, a personal plan for me. Do you believe that, Woodland Church? Let's thank the Lord. Let's claim it. Let's sing it. Fear is not your future. Jesus is.
Hey, church. Thanks for listening to the Woodlands Church with Carrie Shook podcast. By listening, we hope that you're encouraged wherever you are. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast so that you can get the latest messages each week. For more information on Woodlands Church, check out the description for a link to our website and how to connect with us. We hope you have a great week.